This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to talk about all things Kaiser, correct? And we have three outstanding gentlemen joining us, and Tammy as well. John Patrick, Director, Sales and Account Manager for the Federal Employee Health Benefit Program. Is that the way you say it?
That is correct.
Okay, and Jeff Goldman, Executive Director, Government Programs. Should I put some more words in that?
That sounds like enough words for me.
Okay.
But I am also responsible for Medicare, Medicaid, and the federal program.
Okay, good. Thank you. And Dr. J, and how do you pronounce the last name?
Rue. You slur the R and the Y together, and there you have it.
Okay. Dr. J, good morning, and Associate Medical Director, Kaiser Region. Is it regional?
Yeah, so Kaiser Permanente, the Mid-Atlantic States region.
Okay. And I guess you can tell these three gentlemen are from Kaiser. And Tammy Flanagan, of course, needs no introduction. But anyway, Tammy Flanagan, Senior Benefit Director, NITP, Weekly GovExec columnist. Got a lot of good questions and knower of all things federal. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Bob.
And my name is Bob Lines. I'm an account and finance type with NITP. And let's jump into it. Guys, before we were in the green room, you said you had everything ready to rock and roll. So where do you want to start?
Well, first, we want to say thank you to NITP for inviting us here and giving us the opportunity to talk about Kaiser Permanente. And it's a really critical time for federal employees. It's about more than just choosing your benefits. Federal employees have a chance to choose what's right for them and how they receive their health care. And that's a lot about what we want to talk about today. There's so many incredible things happening at Kaiser Permanente, of the Mid-Atlantic states in particular, that is new this year, going to be new next year, and really taking us to new places in terms of patient satisfaction, access to see your physician, some great technology. And we just want to make sure people are aware of that and realize that there's more to this time of year than just the math lesson of who pays for what, but really, how you receive your health care is really even more critical than that, and people have a choice.
I remember last year we did talk a lot about the dialogue between you and the patients, if you will, or the clients, and you were really automated, and even more so this year?
Even more so. We have some new technology that I think Jay can talk about and probably give some examples of what a patient really experiences with Kaiser Permanente. And I've been out at some enrollment meetings. And it really, people are curious. People want to know. So I think this is a great opportunity for us to really share that dialogue and information with people. As I said, they have a big decision in front of them, a lot of information to sort through, and it's a critical time of year for them to really be able to step forward and affect their lives.
With Kaiser being a kind of an HMO and a regional plan, what are some of the regions, and have you expanded those regions this year at all so that people who are listening can know if this is a choice that they would have?
So Kaiser Permanente was originally born in California as the nation's first and foremost HMO and integrated healthcare delivery system prior to World War II. So the vast majority of Kaiser Permanente's members nationally are in California. About one in four people in California are members of, one in three, Jay has corrected me, are Kaiser Permanente members.
And what people may not realize is that the state of California holds the most federal retirees and the most federal employees. Now, if you combine D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, that wouldn't be true, but in each individual state, California is the largest federal employer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And by the way, our phone number, because you can go one-on-one with these gentlemen as well as Tammy, 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. Now, for those of you listening beyond 10:58 a.m. November 15th, don't call because you're listening to this recorded. But up until then, You can call us, 202-465-3080. And we'll give you an email address later, as well as Kaiser's email address. But too many numbers at one point is too much.
We got as far as California. Then where do we
We're also in Hawaii. We're in Colorado. We're in the Pacific Northwest, based out of Portland. We are in Ohio, Georgia, the Mid-Atlantic States region, which is, you know, Northern Virginia, all of D.C., and the vast majority of Maryland, not the Eastern Shore, the Panhandle.
Mm-hmm. Pretty broad range.
Yeah, I don't think I left anybody out.
Could I ask a question? And we never pit companies against each other. But what would you ascribe, if you will, to the popularity in California, other than you've been there a long time? You know, you can be someplace a long time and not be good, or you can be someplace a long time and can be good. And like you say, you have a huge segment of that market.
So there's a number of things. And one is, first of all, originating in California, we also grew up with the state of California. So we were in California, or Kaiser Permanente, not me. I was even around in the pre-World War II era. But, you know, the plan was born out of it's actually an interesting story. So Henry Kaiser, who was a major industrialist at the time, was working on projects. And they're actually working on, I believe it was the L.A. aqueducts. And they had workers that were sort of out in the desert working on these projects. And
let's pick that up. We got a caller.
Ooh.
And we asked for the call, so we better take it. Good morning. Hello? We had a caller. You there? Good morning. Okay, well, we don't have... I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So when Henry Kaiser had his workers, he partnered with a physician. And that physician was...
Keep going.
Yeah, okay. So that physician was... able to build a small hospital at the work site to keep the workers healthy, to begin the practice of preventive medicine. And really, you know, they took, I think it was a nickel out of their paychecks, and it was a dime if they wanted to cover their families, if their families were living near the work site. And then from there, as California grew post-World War II, people moving from the East Coast and other parts of the country to California, we grew up with California. Those hospitals continue. So we have, I don't know if Jay knows the exact number of hospitals we have in California.
I don't, but I think it's on the order of in the 20s, maybe 30, low 30s, something like that.
Okay, great. Now the caller is on, I believe. Good morning. Okay, back to the panel.
Are you there? Oh, I thought I heard a voice.
No, they're not there. So we just got to move forward. So we got hospitals, and you've grown from California. You're even out on the East Coast with us.
That's right.
Now you have a major presence, I think, even in Rockville, where I work.
Yep, that's where our regional headquarters is. We have just shy of 500,000 employees. We have... over 120,000 employees with the Federal Employee Benefit Program. So clearly an important segment of the market for us and for the company as a whole. So as you mentioned, in California, we also have twice as many federal employees.
Do you know what percentage of the FEHB program you guys take part in?
About 10% of federal employees are with Kaiser Permanente.
Including retirees and employees.
Right.
That's a big number.
And that's just here in the Mid-Atlantic.
That's the Mid-Atlantic.
In California, it would be 45%.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that big.
So if I have Kaiser, what have you done for me lately? I mean, what are my enhancements this year?
So what I have to say is, again, Kaiser Permanente is first and foremost a medical delivery system. And so I'm actually going to turn it over to Jay to talk about a number of the key changes that have happened in our delivery system and are going to continue to happen over the next several years. And then after that, we can talk about the benefits piece.
Sure. I think there are a lot of exciting changes that we've been working on over the last year and a half. I think what really falls into two different buckets. One is what I'll call expansions of different services that we were already offering. So whether it's expanded hours of radiology services, imaging services, lab, pharmacy, as well as urgent care type services. So really any kind of component that you would be experiencing as a patient, there's a general expansion of those hours and the capabilities and locations where we're going to be offering them. But the number two, the big thing in our region is we're going to be opening up Over the next several years, five new what we're calling hub facilities. The reason why we call them hubs is because we're co-locating many different services under one roof. So we'll have primary care, specialty care, and within the specialty care, anything and everything you would need just shy of a full-blown hospitalization. So including ambulatory surgery, outpatient procedure suites, all kinds of imaging, including nuclear, PET, MRI, CT, all of that. Obviously, our pharmacy and lab services that we have in all of our facilities, as well as these 24-hour clinical decision units, which are essentially freestanding observation units that will allow us to do even more under one roof. The first of these will be at Capitol Hill, and that will go live on January 24th of 2011, so just a couple months away. So we're excited about those. There will be four more opening beyond the Capitol Hill facility over the next 2.5 years.
Would they be in Metro D.C.?
Yes. So one of them will be up the I-270 corridor, sort of in that Gaithersburg area. Another will be out at Tyson's. Both of those will open in 2012. And then in 2013, we'll have one out at the Largo area, and then another in Baltimore. So very exciting time, again, in the interest of expanding where we do things and increasing our capabilities to do more things in one place, because we believe that offers the kind of service and satisfaction as well as really a quality issue. Because as you offer more things in one place, people are more likely to be able to show up for a cough or runny nose and they get their mammogram done, show up for a pain in their elbow and they get their pap smear done or their colonoscopy screening. These are all things that bread and butter Kaiser Permanente style of healthcare delivery.
When somebody becomes a new member of Kaiser for the first time, and maybe they're even switching from traditional fee-for-service coverage into the HMO arena, What would they expect? Would you set up your first annual physical and then you would be finding out your medical history? So if you need a cardiologist or if you need a eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist, then you would be referred and
Absolutely.
Get to see those people within the same facility.
Yeah, and that's not true at every single facility, mm-hmm. mind you. Some of our smaller facilities, we may just have primary care there. But at our larger facilities, we try to put as many services under one roof so that patients, if they need a cardiologist, they're going to that same place. And frequently, with some of these new electronic tools that we have, where we've just recently implemented something called eConsult that allows us to essentially smash together the referral and booking process. So frequently you might show up to your primary care appointment and they might say, actually, I could book you in today mm-hmm. with cardiology, and it's just down a couple floors, something like that. But really, when a new member enters, we get them plugged into primary care right away. And the belief there is we want every patient to have a quarterback for their care. And we believe that the primary care doc is the one that's best situated to do that, especially in the nature of how healthcare is today. You need that quarterback to make mm-hmm. sure you're getting all your preventive services, to make sure you're plugged into whatever specialists you need to be plugged into. And somebody to keep an eye on every facet of the healthcare delivery. I think our healthcare delivery system in the States, and I'm talking outside of Kaiser just generally, it seems like we are very specialized. We're very good at having people go to your ear, nose, throat, your cardiologist or whatever. But frequently what gets lost in the shuffle is the patient is the one that's got to kind of navigate that process, whereas within Kaiser, we have that primary care doc to do that for them.
Right. I know we were talking before the show started about there's certain myths surrounding HMOs. You know, we think that we don't get to choose our doctors or that we're going to have our care limited because it's an HMO. So I know that you have some myth busting you can do to some of those things.
So it's interesting when we were talking about that, because many of us, because there's so many federal open season fairs, we're all out there, and make a plug. If you're out at your federal agency listening to this, take the time to go down to your federal open season fair, talk to the health plans, find out what's going on, find out what's new and different. Stuff changes every year. And it's really in your best interest to know. And I think that's what this show is all about, giving everyone a chance. But, people think of HMOs as, you're at those tables and people walk by, they go, HMO, and they kind of hold up their hand and walk away. You know, people have sort of this preconceived notions mm-hmm. about HMOs, that people are there just to prevent care. And, you know, first of all, you know, the HMO piece really is about the insurance side of the house, not necessarily the care delivery. And I think that's really what separates Kaiser Permanente is the care delivery. And what Jay was just talking about, which is if you're in, you know, the fee-for-service world, you are your care manager. You collect your records. You have to be able to go into the doctor and be able to tell them, these are the medications I'm on. You know...
Yeah, you have to carry that little script of paper around it.
Yeah, if you get X-rays, you got to carry them with you from one doctor to another. You're responsible for being your care manager. Mm-hmm. In an integrated healthcare company like we have, your primary care physician, along with you, is advocating and looking and monitoring your healthcare, and they all operate off of the same electronic medical record. So, and we have this great tool now online. Go to kp.org. /doctors, and you can actually look at the doctors that have open panels. You can read a profile. In some cases, you can see a video on those doctors.
So you get to choose your doctor.
And not just choose your doctor. Mm-hmm. You're not flipping through the pages of a directory and saying, gee, Dr. Smith's right down the street. I think I'll go to Dr. Smith. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to actually see, why did that doctor choose to practice medicine? What is it that they care about? And you might find, well, you know, I run, and so I tend to get, you know, knee problems. And look, Dr. Jones here, also an athlete. Gee, we have something in common here. Maybe he's going to be more in tune to what I'm looking for. And it could be anything. You know, it could be needlepoint. But, I mean, the point is that you have an opportunity to choose the physician that's right for you, and you can come in and actually spend time with them, but you get introduced to them through the web. And I think there's that common misperception that with the Kaiser Permanente or other HMOs, it's sort of, you know, a mass unit. You come in, you pick a number, you see the next doctor that pops up. And it couldn't be farther from the truth about how you pick your primary care physician. You partner with that primary care physician to be the advocate for your health care and the gateway to this incredible delivery system that we have.
Do you all have kind of focal points outside of, say, California and D.C.? In other words, are there any other areas where you have the hospitals, if you will, or like what we are getting here and have here? I doubt there's many centers like this in California. But so, in between California and Maryland, there's some other states.
So I think if you think about, so California, where we grew up and have so many members and we have all those hospitals, in the 1980s, Kaiser sort of expanded this model out to other markets. Some followed the hospital route. So there's a hospital in Hawaii. There's a hospital in the Pacific Northwest. Most of the non-California regions don't have their own hospitals. But what we're doing here in the Mid-Atlantic in particular is taking that next step to be much closer to manage that inpatient care, you know, opportunity, either through what our centers can do or in our partner relationships with hospitals. I don't know if Jay, you know, you talk about what's happening out of Virginia Hospital Center.
Yeah, I think that is another one of the myths, is people believe that in the Californias, yes, we have our own hospitals and so forth. They believe in regions like ours that we only do outpatient care, and that's not really true. We have our own hospitalist docs, our own specialists who round on our patients that happen to land in hospitals. So we also do our own inpatient hospital care. And we work very closely with a handful of pre-selected hospitals that we have a core partnership with. And when a patient lands in those hospitals, we have our own electronic medical record system, our own hospitalists, our own specialists, our own case managers, and we've even moved towards a sort of a hospital within a hospital model, where even at Virginia Hospital Center, as Jeff was talking about, we indeed have a co-branded floor, where one of the floors there is dedicated for Kaiser patients that get admitted to that hospital. And that model's worked very well for us, so that we could still integrate care, even when that gets to be inpatient care. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really a signal of what we're all about, which is trying to integrate and coordinate that care across all these different silos of the healthcare system, so that the patient isn't the one having to lug around the bag full of old medical records, old empty pill bottles.
Or that they get care that's not right for them because they didn't say that I had this done or I'm on this medication.
So absolutely.
I think that's a cause of some malpractice, is the fact that someone doesn't give the information or doesn't know it or doesn't remember.
That's exactly right. The analogy I always like to use, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's sort of like keeping track of what your car needs.
No.
You know, I can't keep track of how many thousand miles need to go before I need to change the transmission oil or transmission fluid or the brake fluid or get my brake pads resurfaced or whatever. I can't keep track of that stuff, and that's my car. Now, your health is probably a little more complicated even than a car, and you'd really like to think that someone is keeping track of that for you, because I'm not sure, even as physicians, if you ask me how often do I need a colonoscopy or whatever, I'm not sure I can keep up with the latest recommendations. But we as a system have built tools that enable our physicians to stay on top of all of that so that the patient, my God, they're not left to having to figure all that out.
Have to understand all that themselves. The another myth that I hear people say, maybe it's a myth or misunderstanding, is that I don't want an HMO because when I travel, it doesn't cover me.
And so, of course, anybody that has an emergency when they're outside, you know, the service area, whether you're traveling for work, you have the right to go to, and we would encourage you, if you have an emergency, go to a hospital, go to an emergency room. But we also have a travel benefit as well from people who are outside the delivery system. And what's also amazing is through this new technology that we have our electronic medical record we call KP Health Connect, and you have a tool called My Health Manager, if you're a member, and you can email your physician, and they'll typically get back to you within 24 hours. So if you have something, you're traveling, and you have something that's non-emergent, you can email your doctor. I've talked to some of our physicians who have helped their patients in Europe, in Asia, in other places, just through the email system where they can say, look, I've got this going on. Do I need to see a doctor? And they're able to help consult them on
history,
what they do.
Because they can pull up their file probably.
Yeah. Well, that's the backbone of this whole system is that electronic medical record where every doctor in our system views the same information. And, you know, that can't be understated how important that is. So if you come in to see your doctor and they say, well, you know, you might need to see a specialist. Now, Jay mentioned e-consult where the doctor can actually phone in a specialist into that visit. So you don't even need to leave and go see that specialist. They can, let's say you hurt your knee and, you know, the doctor said, well, go down, get some x-rays, come back up and see me in a half hour. They go down, they get it, they come back up. They can then consult in an orthopedic doctor who can then look at it and say, you know, maybe just some ice, let it cool down. Maybe we don't need to do anything. Or, and I'm not the doctor here, so bear with me. Or, you know, they could say, well, I need to see that specialist. The specialist says, I need to see that patient. They can actually schedule that right there in
right
the room.
There.
Takes that, you know, there's no referral anymore. You're just getting an appointment, sometimes even in the same day, to be able to go do that. They all have the same images. They all have this, you know, they're pulling up the same image to look at it. You, your doctor, and your specialist all at the same time.
And you know, Jeff, I'm glad you brought that up. And Jay, you mentioned it earlier. Jay, I wanted that. Jay stopped in my office a couple weeks ago and told me a story about a member and how eConsult helped them through a process. Am I actually going to, Jay, could you share that story
sure,
with everybody?
Absolutely. It's weird. When you have physicians able to communicate in real time, good things tend to happen. And I think it's really a testament to how we've placed our priorities as an organization to allow that communication to happen so that we all pitch in for the patient care. And some of the things that Jeff's describing, that's exactly what it enables us to do. It's picking up the phone, being able to talk to one of your colleagues who also has ownership of that patient because we're all employed by the same company. But eConsult, just to get to what John is talking about, we are now seeing just such a tremendous advantage as far as how quickly we're able to get folks plugged into our system. This was a patient that was seen in one of our facilities Friday afternoon at 4:30. So towards the end of the day, diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. So not the greatest diagnosis, obviously, but their primary care doc was able to place an e-consult and book them into the oncologist first thing Monday morning at our Fair Oaks facility, I believe. So they got in there at 8:45 Monday morning. Our oncologist was then able to direct book them through the same e-consult function into the breast surgeon clinic at the same facility, because again, co-location of services, later that morning at around 10 a.m. Then the breast surgeon turned around, again, using e-consult, directly booked them into the plastic surgeon, again at Fair Oaks, So same building, later that morning for 11:15. So here you had a patient diagnosed with breast cancer on Friday afternoon, and then Monday morning, they saw all three of the specialists that need to work together as a team to deal with that diagnosis. Mm. I think that's the kind of power that happens when you have tools that enable physicians to talk to one another, to communicate across this common platform where they're reading the same medical record system, they're viewing the same images, seeing the same lab test results, and co-located frequently in one place. That's what is possible when you do that.
And Jay, and you had also told me, I said, wow, that's a fantastic story. It's a perfect case scenario. Could you share the statistic you gave me, too, on how often that's happening?
And that's tough to track, but it's definitely happening now, I'd say, a good chunk of the time. maybe around 50% of the time, maybe even higher. It depends on how you track the metric. But the bottom line is some of these diseases, we don't want them to be directly booked because they might need some testing before we book them in. So it's not available for all diseases across all states. But if you're fitting into one of the pre-selected list of conditions where you are, there's nothing that should be stopping you from seeing that specialist, absolutely. We use that function. We use it a lot.
You know, and in the integrated care delivery model that we use, there's huge advantages, obviously, to not just the physicians, but also to the member. I mean, that's significant because in most other environments, they're on their own booking those appointments.
Right. You get the diagnosis from your primary care, and then you got to call whatever specialist you think. Maybe you talk to your neighbor, see who they saw, and then you call them, and it takes 3 weeks to get an appointment.
Exactly. Yeah, something that serious, or even if you have a bad knee, do you want to wait 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting about it also is with something serious like that, I think patients tend to be pretty good about following up and booking the appointments that they need. But sometimes it may not be as serious as breast cancer, but nevertheless, someone needs that follow-up care. When it's convenient to them, they tend to do it. Mm-hmm. When it's inconvenient to them, it might fall off their priority list and a few weeks may go by. Exactly. And that's not the kind of quality of care that we want to be delivering.
Can you talk a little bit more about e-medical records? Not necessarily for anybody in the room, but my doc initially did that and I go, I'm just in a computer. And the more I went, the more I liked it because it's not Kaiser, but they were able to say, okay, do you check with Dr. da-da-da-da-da? I'll shoot something off to them. And so people shouldn't be taken back by the fact that their records are on some kind of electronic mechanism rather than a piece of paper. I think it's actually more efficient because paper gets lost.
The fear is the safety of having electronic records. Is that what you're getting to? Worried about that?
Yeah, and actually, the federal government actually has come out with a set of standards. They call them the meaningful use standards. And one of the things that they really focus on is privacy. Obviously, that's a concern for everybody, and rightfully so. But I think most of the systems that are out nowadays, privacy is first and foremost into what they build the platform on. But I think what you raise is an interesting point. A lot of healthcare systems, a lot of hospitals, physician groups, and so forth do actually have electronic medical record systems. But what separates ours from them is that we're all looking at the same record. So whether you're in our pharmacy, in our radiology lab, your physician, your primary care, specialty care, inpatient, outpatient, we're all looking off the same record versus what you may have elsewhere where you go into the hospital, now you're on the hospital system. That may be a GE system. You go into your doc, that person may be on an Epic system. So when you're in with your doc, they can't see what happened in the hospital. When you're in the hospital, they can't see what your doc had done. And no one can see across different kinds of electronic medical record systems. I think that's truly the power of our system, is that it's not just that we have an electronic medical record system, it's that we actually see the same exact one across all these different settings of care.
So when you get a new patient, then you must have a kind of a screening process to get their history up to date before you start moving forward.
Yeah, actually, I experienced this when I first joined as a Kaiser member probably 2 or 3 years ago when I was still out in California. And when you're on your first visit, it takes a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. So as a patient, I remember I was thinking, oh my God, this is a little bit longer than I thought. But it's for the purpose of establishing your record. So are you on any medications? What are your allergies? Mm-hmm. So that we can build it into the electronic medical record system so that it's there, so that any time you have subsequent care needs, someone can view that and they don't have to reinvent the wheel. Have you fill out all the forms of, you know, what are your medical problems? What runs in the family? All that kind of stuff. It's all in there.
And I think what's important is, you know, it's great for the medical delivery system. It's a really important backbone, but it's important for the patient, right? This is all about the patient. So Kaiser Permanente has always been about keeping you well if you're well and helping you get well if you're not well. Mm-hmm. And these tools are all about doing that. It's about having tests only once. It's about having efficient management of your pharmaceuticals. It's about monitoring your blood pressure over time, and you can go online and you can see, you know, it'll actually graph it out for you. This is really a better way to receive healthcare. It's about efficiency, and it's not about efficiency, and we talk about efficiency, and it gets back to those HMO things. Right. Well, it's efficient for them because they save money. And that's not what this is all about. Right. This is about providing a higher standard of care.
And taking advantage of today's technology that I think a lot of in the medical practice, we're still working in different times.
Yeah. So, you know, we really want the Kaiser members and the prospective Kaiser members to recognize that, you know, there's this whole debate around healthcare. And I think, you know, Jay and I talk about this a lot. The one thing that nobody disagrees about is getting doctors to talk to other doctors benefits the patient. You get better care. You will get healthier faster. And the example that Jay gave of somebody that was diagnosed with cancer on a Friday and was able to meet with all their specialists on Monday. Think about just the frame of mind they were in. When you left that diagnosis, you already had a treatment plan. You were already on a road to somewhere, as opposed to having to go home and flip open the directory and start looking for doctors and start calling around your friends and neighbors.
I think another advantage, too, is as people age, like I noticed with my mother-in-law, I really think, you know, she should see a gerontologist rather than just the same doctor she's seen for the last 45 years. And I think in this type of a setup, she would be referred to that specialty as she gets older and encounters some of the illnesses of aging that she has.
Right. And you think about the aging member who, you have to trust that they can remember all the medicines they're on. So when they go to see, you know, they decide, well, I do want to see a gerontologist. Mm-hmm. They show up to the gerontologist. They've got to remember to tell them everything they've been doing.
Right.
In our system, they put in your medical record number, and it's there. At the first visit, in the first minute.
Does Kaiser take care of mental health as well as physical health? So if someone needs to see someone in the mental health profession, they also have that specialty as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do that, and it's also built within our network, and we have our own psychiatrists and other behavioral health specialists. I think that's a perfect example of the privacy issue you were talking about. So there are some areas that by law, are not able to have the information shared as easily, and behavioral health is one of them. But nevertheless, we still build whatever integration we can so that even in the behavioral health realm, if you're getting your care there, we still want to pull in whatever information is appropriate so that your primary care doc knows about it, and whoever else needs to know from a clinical standpoint does know.
Tammy had sent over a list of questions, and this might spin off of what we're talking about now. How does Kaiser work with Medicare?
So in the Federal Employee Benefit Program, we also offer a Medicare plan. So so federal members have an interesting choice to make, is because they are allowed to stay in the active. They can stay with their current options when they retire, or they can go to a Medicare plan. Our Medicare plan offered to federal employees will have lower copays. So the copays will be lower if you join the Medicare plan. The trade-off to that is that you have to have Part B. Mm-hmm. And that's always a challenging and individual question that federal employees have to answer for themselves, is whether or not they want to pick up Part B. As folks probably know that are, you know, retirement age, if you wait to pick up your Part B, you will pay a penalty, and that's not a Kaiser rule.
That's a federal
CMS rule. So, you know, if you have Parts A and B and you are you're a retiree and you're eligible to pick up a Medicare plan, You should definitely be taking a look because there are some definite advantages to being in a Medicare plan as opposed to the active plan.
So that's separate from Kaiser High option and standard option?
Actually, it's not. Mm-hmm. Kaiser Permanente is very different with the way our federal plan works with our Medicare. I know in other plans they have to drop their federal employee or suspend their federal employee health benefit plan.
Right.
At Kaiser Permanente, you keep your federal employee health benefit plan. And you can think of our Medicare as just our Medicare copays laying over the top of that and reducing those copays and many times down to zero.
Okay.
So it's really, we have four options offered through FEHB, a high and a standard option for actives and a high and a standard option for Medicare. So you don't leave the federal benefit program to enroll in our Medicare. But the benefits are the same. John always corrects me on this. Mm-hmm. When we talk about benefits, everything that's covered is always the same. What you pay out of pocket will be reduced in the Medicare plan for those that are eligible to join.
Wow.
So you have to weigh the cost of Medicare Part B towards the savings you get from lowering those copays.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you have to weigh what you're going to be doing during your retirement for the rest of your life, and may it be a long one. And, you know, the value of Part B now versus what it might cost you
if you
leave the area and you go to a place where FEHB benefits aren't easily used or attainable, you might wish at that point that you had Part B, but then there's a penalty involved. So it's really a very individual thing that folks need to talk to their retirement planners about.
Read Tammy's article on Medicare B.
Yeah, John, try to study it because to me it's a big mystery. But the more I study it, the more I learn.
But she's written several articles on it. And
well, because I get a lot of questions on, you know, do I need Part B? And it is a difficult decision because it's a fine line. Because if you're healthy, you don't need any insurance. You know, what you're needing it for is when you're not as healthy and whenever you have expensive medical care. How much will you save? And is it worth paying that extra premium?
Yeah.
Especially, and I think the big confusion is that federal employees, even when they're retired, don't have to enroll in Medicare. Kaiser will still cover them, even if they choose not to take Part B. And I think that's the biggest concern they have, is because Medicare Part B has become fairly expensive, you know, especially if it's a higher income folk who have to pay upwards of $300 a month for Medicare Part B. Why would they want to pay that in addition to still paying their premiums for their insurance? So it's a big confusion, and it's not an easy call to make because you don't know what's down the road, where you're going to live, how your health is going to hold up, and those are things that would be nice to have the answers to make that decision.
And FEHB is unique. It's there. I don't know of another employer that doesn't sort of require you to go into a Medicare plan. So there's a lot of conflicting information. So you know what I mean? The conversation out there is not always the same as what a federal employee has to think about.
Yeah, Medicare Part A is no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Everybody takes Part A. But
yeah.
Part B is the one that people are concerned. That's the outpatient piece of Medicare that you have to pay a premium.
Right, and that premium's gone up substantially.
115 next year, I think.
Yeah, I think it's over 120.
Yeah.
And then there's a sliding scale. For some people, it's even more. So it's a complicated decision.
And if one wants to read further about that or hear further about that, read Tammy's articles at nitpinc.com. Left hand side of the homepage, Tammy's GovExec articles.
It's also where you can link to the show.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to it later. The other thing I wanted to ask was the fact that Kaiser has high option and standard option, who would be the candidate who would be more likely to pick the high option plan versus the standard option? Because there is a difference in premium. So what's the difference in benefit?
So really the strategy behind those two plans is it's the what you pay out of pocket when you go to the doctor versus what comes out of your paycheck. So really all the benefits are the same.
The care
all the same,
is the same.
Things are
the
covered.
The technology is the same.
Everything.
The doctors
that
are the
doctor,
same.
Rue has described in terms of the power and incredible nature of this delivery system, all those things are available to you. The difference is you pay a little bit more when you go to the doctor in copays, and you pay a little bit less out of your paycheck. And so it's really,
would it be fair to say if I'm in good health and don't have any chronic conditions that standard option would probably serve me fine? But if I have a lot of medical problems and I'm at the doctors more than a few times every quarter, that maybe I better look at the high option.
There's a tripping point somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the doctor once or twice a year, the standard option is probably the better choice for you because you're going to pay that extra $10 a couple times as opposed to really, you know, a little bit more every week. If you go to the doctor 20 times, if you're, you know, you have a significant need to see the doctor or you have a lot of prescriptions, then the high option might be the better choice for you. It's
what
really
about
very
families
individualistic.
With children? Like if you have three children, does that make a difference if we're all in good health still?
Well, if everyone's, it depends. It depends on how often you're going to the doctor.
Right.
It's really as simple
with
as
kids. You never know.
Yeah, right. You get those, and it's another great thing about the, you know, when my kids were young, the Kaiser centers, and especially these new ones we're opening, they're open 24/7. You know, your kid wakes up in the middle of the night with the ear infection. You know, you're off and running. You can go to one place, see the pediatrician, walk out with the prescription, get home a couple hours later. It's an incredible experience when you have young kids.
Does Kaiser provide consultation? Like if I just had a question about what's wrong with my kids or the symptoms they're showing, I can just call in and say, is this worth bringing him in or is it something I can treat at home?
Yeah, so we have an advice line, a call center that's 24/7 where you would, depending on whatever your condition is, it would get bumped up to an advice nurse, and sometimes she may even consult a physician that's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have those questions answered, and more importantly, get you in the right setting of care that's most appropriate for whatever you have going on.
And should go without saying, but that advice nurse has your medical record as well. So you're not repeating everything you've ever
done.
Right,
so they can see what the history has been recently.
Yeah, every access point to the healthcare delivery system, and I mean, healthcare delivery, every access point to the doctors has that same base of information. So you're not repeating stuff and having to sort of start from scratch every time.
Another big concern I hear from people is the cost of prescriptions. So how is the prescription delivery, like if I need to have medical treatment in the form of prescription medications, is it done through the Kaiser facilities or do I go to my local pharmacy or is it mail order? How does that work?
All of our locations have pharmacies. So we were talking about these, our medical centers, our doctors practice in our medical centers where we have labs, x-ray, and a pharmacy pretty much in every one. So if you need labs, you need to get films done, or your doctor provides you a prescription, you can pick it up right there on your way out. As a matter of fact, I don't know if Jay, you want to talk about the new sort of fast script fill, if you want to call it.
There's something called Fill Now that we use, and these are all sort of internal slogans, if you will, to remind us what we try to do. But Fill Now is a button that the docs can use, and that essentially puts you into a different queue for the pharmacy. So the doc may click it, and then by the time you get downstairs to the pharmacy,
you just pick it up.
And sometimes when we first implemented this, we even had some patients that were surprised, and they got to the pharmacy and they said, no, that can't possibly be my prescription. You've made a mistake. I just came from the doctor. I haven't even given you my prescription yet.
But
well, it's because it goes electronically and we click Fill Now.
It.
But getting back to that question of how do you receive pharmacy, it's not just physically at our centers, but also if it's a refill, absolutely. We do mail order. People that are on chronic medications, a lot of them never even come in because they're just refilling online. And that's a convenience.
That's convenient.
Yeah,
very good.
That makes it even better.
The other thing that surprised me from what you told me before we started the show is that not only does Kaiser in business to provide healthcare, but you also give back to the community.
Yeah,
and
so
it
we
was
are,
in a tremendous way from what you were saying. So I was kind of surprised and kind of interested to hear more about what that is.
So we are a nonprofit foundation organization, and as a result of that, we give back. Right now, it's about a little over $60 million back to the community. And this is just locally. This is in the Mid-Atlantic States area. We do it through a number of ways. We are a major provider of grants. So we have a whole grant process where people apply for grants to fund various safety net organizations providing health care to people that are in areas that are underserved or in ways that they're not able to get access. We also have what we call a bridge program, which is for underserved populations that are able to get a subsidized healthcare. So Kaiser Permanente actually pays the vast majority of the premium, and then they are able to access all these great tools that we have in our system. So there's research and development
companies.
Things.
Right.
And we were kind of estimating, I don't know if this is the wrong number, but it's probably close to $1 billion nationally that we give back to the community.
So it's giving back too.
Yeah. It feels good to work for this organization.
What about the doctors? Are the Kaiser doctors ones who usually come into Kaiser and stay there, or is this a stepping stone onto something else? Do you have a lot of doctors who've been there for their entire career?
Yeah, I mean, just like any company, I suppose we do have some turnover, but what I've been astonished by and what most people are astonished by is that we have very... we have a lot fewer turnover, or a lot less turnover, I should say, than anywhere else that you would look. And I think it's because it's a great place to practice. It's a great place to be a physician, because you don't get into some of the frustrations, I think, that physicians outside our system might experience, especially in today's day and age. We have the tools that we discussed already so that you're always feeling like you can do right by your patient, that you can provide them with the kind of care that you feel that they deserve and need. You never are in the position where you have to fight with insurance companies to justify that a patient needs this or that. Employed by the same house, right, if you will. So I think there are a lot of things that make it very rewarding to practice medicine in this environment. And it shows. We have tremendous retention, and our docs tend to stick with us. And the little bit of turnover that we have, vast majority of the time, it's because they're moving out of the area, spouse has relocated, mm-hmm, something like that.
I think that's important to us as the patient to know our doctors are happy with their jobs.
I would say one of the things that's really different there, too, is that our physicians are paid to care for their patients. They're not in the business of running a business, where many other physicians have to get caught up.
That's true, too. They're not good business people, so they'd rather just do the practice of medicine.
That's correct. So our physicians just need to focus on their patients.
And taking that a step further, do you find more docs knocking at your door now with regards to the general practitioner doesn't make what they used to make for no other reason other than insurance has cut heavily into the top line, but the middle line, the expenses, they're not going down. And, I work with a fair number of docs, and the bigger practices seem to be okay, but the small GPs are not thrilled with the schooling that they had to endure and now the declining profitability. I know it's not a business, but it is a business.
No, I think you're right, Bob. I think your point is well taken. And what we have found, and I think that may be one contributing factor. I think another contributing factor to what we see here locally is, again, our expansion. The fact that we're in more locations, offering more services, and hiring a lot more docs. We have hired over 200 new physicians in the last 18 months or so. And now we're at a point where we're receiving 10 applications for every one position that we're hiring for. So it's been a time where I think we've been very fortunate. We've frankly kind of enjoyed the buzz that we're getting in this region and the success that we've had in recruiting the top caliber physicians.
And I think that's also been sort of one of those myths about, Kaiser Permanente, the best doctors
that's
work in private
practice.
That's
why I brought it up, because you hear that sometimes.
Yeah. And I think it's actually turned out to be quite the opposite. Yeah. Some of the people, so the vast majority of our physicians are board certified, which you won't find in the outside world. Mm-hmm. The standards and the that we hire based on, as Jay was saying, 1 in 10, and we're flooded with applications to be physicians
so you can be
at Kaiser Permanente.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in fact, are choosy, and I think... in the last year, we've hired some pretty impressive docs who were chiefs, in outside practices or in inpatient locations, mm-hmm, that have come to practice medicine at Kaiser because, as John said, they don't want to run small businesses anymore. You got to hire the receptionist, you got to pay the power bill, you're running a small business. And, many physicians, I think, just, they're not getting flooded with money anymore. So they just want to go back and practice medicine, and that's actually a great fit, I think, for our organization. And as Jay said, we've hired close to 250 doctors in the last year. So I think people that maybe have experienced Kaiser Permanente before and said, wow, I had to wait too long to get into the doctor, the things that we're doing today between the e-consult technology, the new facilities that are opening up, and just to put it on a scale, for anybody who's familiar with us, our largest medical center in the area, I think, is Kensington, in Kensington, Maryland. Several buildings on that location. It's probably about 80,000 square feet.
Wow.
The new building in D.C., which is opening on the 24th of January, and will be open 24/7, is 200,000 square feet.
Jeez,
and will have over 100 doctors working in the facility.
Where is that located?
That location is right next to Union Station.
Wow. Right down
First Street. Northeast, Somebody correct me if I gave the address wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's 1st Street Northeast, the 2nd Street Northeast. And so right next to Union Station, there's the SEC has a couple of buildings, and we are
GPO, actually right in one of those buildings.
So let's
Government Printing's on the other side of Union Station.
Yeah,
it's on the other side as you're facing it. But there's actually a covered underground walkway. It's not actually underground, but a covered walkway all the way from Union Station right through
right
to our
the,
new location.
Wow, so it's convenient to get to from Metro or from
yeah.
the train station.
So the care experience, and we know our member satisfaction has really skyrocketed in many ways.
Would that
in
benefit
the last
someone
few years.
Who works downtown who normally sees a Kaiser facility out in the suburbs, and then while I'm at work, something happens,
yeah.
I can just run over there?
Yeah, and actually at open enrollment meetings, we've been talking to people about mm-hmm. that. Folks, not just people in D.C., but people all over the area really interested in this new facility, because if you're at work and you just need to check in on something or you have something that's not major mm-hmm. or that's keeping you at home, you can get stuff taken care of during the day. If you're just monitoring a certain condition, you need to check in once in a while. This facility is open 24/7.
I don't want to sound like a commercial, but it's on the Metro as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Jay mentioned it earlier, we have 4 more buildings coming in the next 3 years. All those buildings are going to be that size.
That same.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're all going to be 200,000
square
feet.
So you are expecting growth in this area.
Significant.
Yeah.
Significant.
And you wouldn't be doing that unless that was something to validate that growth.
Yeah. So we've made a huge investment in this plan, in this marketplace, akin to bringing it up to the promise that Kaiser Permanente has made all along, back to Sidney Garfield, Dr. Sidney Garfield, and Henry J. Kaiser in the desert, that, you know, we will provide the health care to you in a convenient one-stop shop where, you know, we will keep you healthy so that you can stay on the job, you can enjoy your life. If you are not healthy, we will help you get as well as you can possibly be. And that's really what the promise is all about. And
right.
it's all about the member. And these tools, we use a lot of technology and, you know, buzzwords when we talk about it, but it's really all about the member.
All righty, beyond the health fairs, how does one receive more information, talk to somebody about Kaiser? So where do they go? I mean, there are a lot of people that aren't in the D.C. metro area or in California or whatnot, but still might like to know. Maybe they have health fairs. How many health fairs did you tell me you have?
Just here in the Mid-Atlantic states, we'll have 300.
But anyway, for those not in the Mid-Atlantic states and are listening and said, yeah, I'd like to know more, how does one know more?
Well, if they're not a federal employee, the best place to go is kp.org. But if they are a federal employee and looking for specific information on federal benefits from Kaiser Permanente, they should go to kp.org/feds.
And that'll get them to the federal section of the Kaiser Permanente.
That's correct.
What's new for 2011 with Kaiser? What's changing for next year that we didn't have this year?
Actually, almost all, with the exception of one benefit, are enhancements to our members because of healthcare reform. So the one change that was a postpartum second visit would be additional $10 copay. So it was mm-hmm. very insignificant cost sharing with the federal employees. Everything else were enhancements.
All right, let's bring it down to a smooth landing. Final comments, guys, gal?
I just think that federal employees have this unique advantage of having a choice with healthcare, and don't, because you've done the same thing for 20 years, don't continue to do that if something else might serve you better. Look and see what's out there.
Yeah, I would echo that. I think, you know, for folks that are familiar with Kaiser Permanente and those that are not, take a closer look. Understand that you have a choice in how your healthcare is provided. It's a more important decision than who's paying for it and who, you know, it's not a math lesson. That, you know, we have an incredible delivery system that is patient-centric, built around keeping you healthy, and we really want you to, you know, take your time, look around, and see the advantages that it provides.
Okay, that's a lot. Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, John. See you next year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.